Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. I should say happy host. I'm very happy today. First of all, happy to get to do this with you. Two wonderful guests. Second hour, we're going to do weird questions with Jimmy Akin, as we do sometimes. First hour, we have our guest is Father Matthew Schneider, and we're going to talk about evil, but the various ways that we cooperate with evil and which ones are acceptable, which ones are not. And you might even be like, wait, those Catholics say sometimes it's acceptable? Well, hang on. We're going to get into all of that with Father Matthew Schneider in just a quick second. I just wanted to take a moment to say that all goals met. Thank you so much for your support. All goals met and exceeded, as a matter of fact. And we just couldn't be more thrilled with the and really gratified by the generous outpouring when we were doing our pledge drive. So just wanted to say thanks, and we're here. You're stuck with us for another 3 months, and then I'll see how it goes after that. The number to call today, if you'd like to talk a bit about moral theology and moral philosophy a bit, this first hour with our guest, Father Matthew Schneider, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Our guest, Father Matthew Schneider, is a priest of the Legionaries of Christ, and recently he wrote a piece on the Patheos website, 12 Things Less Remote Cooperation in Evil Than COVID Vaccines. And it was a great lesson on the way Catholics think about the moral life and think about what things are acceptable and which things are forbidden for us to do. Father Matthew Schneider, thanks for being with us.
You're welcome, Cy. Nice to be on the program.
If you have questions for Father about how Catholics make moral decisions and come to moral conclusions, 888-318-7884. You can call whether you're Catholic or not. Anybody can call 888-318-7884. So it's very, how shall I put it? It's somewhat upsetting, I suppose, to say cooperation with evil and then to talk about which are the evils we can cooperate and which ones we can't. So I want to start by asking you if evil and injustice are the same thing. And then, so what does the church mean when it uses the word evil, I guess, is the root question.
Well, evil in this sense is some kind of injustice in, but not necessarily, you know, that you can stop or that you can prevent too much or kind of out there. I mean, evil could also have a sense in things like a physical evil, like, for example, if something's lacking, because in the church's in church's theology, evil is always something that's lacking. Like the evil act is an act that's lacking something that is good, that is proper to the act. You know, like if you lie, your words are unjust, but they're evil in the sense they're lacking the quality of truth that is usually proper to human speech.
Got it. I see. Okay. So why would we even consider this idea of cooperation with evil? Why even talk about cooperation with evil at all?
Well, I think to understand it, we need to kind of do a kind of real quick kind of summary of a few points in Catholic moral theology so that we can get a sense of it. The first thing we have in moral theology is that there's three parts of any act. You know, you have the object, the intention, and the circumstances. And cooperation and evil is going to be in the circumstances. John Paul II in Veritate Splendor talks about the object of the act as the primary, although not exclusive, determination of the morality of the act. And in general, your object is always, you know, purely good. Your intention is always purely good, but your circumstances are often imperfect. They can be so problematic they actually have a problem, or they can just be, you know, imperfect, which is something different from being evil in themselves. For example, the object is what you choose, what you're doing. The intention is what you want to do, what your goal is, what you're looking for, and the circumstances are all the other surrounding things, which include things like cooperation and evil. And then in cooperation and evil, the church makes two important distinctions here. The first one is formal and material. So formal cooperation means that you will the evil of the act. You know, for example, if you vote for somebody because they support abortion, you are willing that evil, you know, and that's always forbidden. we always have to not wish that evil and wish there was an option, you know, without that associated evil. And then the other thing is proximate and remote. And proximate and remote are, you know, how close you are to the act. And remote can be in very different degrees, because the church, when they talk about proximate, they mean really, really close. Usually it's somebody who's like the getaway driver for a bank robber is a proximate cooperation in the bank robber. The nurse who's in the abortion room is proximate cooperation with the abortionist. But even somebody who might be like, you know, the secretary for the abortion clinic is technically remote, although that close remote you really want to avoid. But as the evil gets less, or as the evil gets more remote, there's much less of an obligation to avoid it. And at certain points, it almost becomes impossible to avoid all cooperation in that sense. So I think that that's that. If we have that as kind of our kind of outline, it kind of puts perspective on all the rest of the things we talked about with cooperation and evil. Does that make sense?
It does. It's not easy. I wouldn't say it's easy, Father, but it makes sense there's a lot of factors you have to figure here, some of which are objective. A thing is just objectively evil. Some of which are subjective. What's my intention? And then some of which are kind of, they're objective, but you need prudence to figure out how close am I to this act? How remote am I from this act? It's a lot of calculations.
Well, yeah, and especially when you get like multiple steps remote, it becomes less of an obligation to avoid it. Like, for example, if somebody comes and says, like, I got a job as a secretary for an abortion clinic, you'd kind of say, like, is there any other job you can get to pay the bills? You know, and even if you do this, you got to be looking for another job immediately. You know, whereas somebody who, say, works in a hospital in the cancer wing, but that same hospital in another wing provides abortions, well, they're in the same hospital. It is some degree of remote cooperation, but it's a much further degree where, you know, the nurse working in the cancer wing doesn't have to say, oh, I can't work in this hospital because this other wing way over on the other side does something immoral.
Well, it strikes me that many of those who tell us that we're wrong in these calculations, it certainly is coming up with the COVID vaccine thing, but even the example you gave of working in a hospital where abortion is sometimes provided, people will say, well, these calculations are about cooperation with evil, and whether it's formal or material, whether it's proximate or distant or remote cooperation, what you're really talking about is compromise with evil, and you should not be compromising. Just get away from it.
Let's look at the Gospels. In the Gospels, what does Jesus, when people ask him about paying the tax to Caesar, what does he say? He says, no, pay the taxes to Caesar. Now, I struggle for anybody to argue that paying taxes to the Roman government was not cooperating the evils of the Roman government at the time, because there was a whole bunch of evils as far as infanticide, as far as oppression and different, you know, violence that the Roman Empire was doing. Yet Jesus says, pay your taxes, which is that kind of remote cooperation. So he's not saying avoid any remote cooperation, because any remote cooperation automatically a compromise.
I see. Okay. So, So you cited a very high source. So you go straight to Jesus. That helps. That gives a little authority to the argument. Okay. So formal cooperation, I just want to review it then, and then we'll open up the lines to people. But formal cooperation is when I intend the evil. I'm doing what I'm doing because I'm supporting that evil.
Definitely, yeah. Like if you say, like, you know, if there's you want this evil to happen, you know, and that's always immoral. Like you should never want any evil to happen. You should hope that all evils are avoided, but we kind of know in our fallen world that some evil is going to happen somewhere in the U.S. in the next 24 hours.
Okay, right. So then material cooperation is when I don't intend the evil at all, but it's, say, I'm shopping at a store that I know sells some things that are morally objectionable, but I got to get eggs for the kids. That's material, but not formal, because I don't intend any evil at all.
Well, material and formal, you could even be material in a much less remote way. It's hard to be, you know, super proximate, like the nurse who's handing the instruments to the abortion doctor, and be it. But let's say you were a little more proximate than just, you know, I'm shopping at the normal grocery store that also sells contraceptive pills in the pharmacy department or something, which is relatively remote because you're not participating in the buying of the contraceptives or anything. You could even be, say, you know, in a slightly more thing, but you're not willing that evil. You're wishing you could avoid it, but at that moment you can't. You might not be able to avoid it without incurring some other problem. Like, you can't avoid going to the grocery store if you live in the suburbs, because like all the grocery stores pretty much sell objectionable stuff. So, you know, you can't like not feed your kids. That's not really that's a bigger problem than the remote cooperation by going to just about any grocery store.
Well, let me ask you then just one more, then we'll take a quick break and we'll get to the phones. I want you to call with your questions to 888-318-7884 if you would like to ask our guest, Father Matthew Schneider, about the Catholic understanding of evil, what levels of cooperation of evil are acceptable, which are not. If you have a specific moral question you want to run by him, 888-318-7884. Okay, Father, so sometimes you'll hear something like this, like... a person might justify in vitro fertilization, for example, where and I'll just deal with the embryos. I know there's also the aspect of the conjugal act, but let's I'll just deal with the embryos for a minute. They'll say, well, there's going to be five embryos, and we're going to just implant two and see how it goes. And I'm not intending any evil to any of these embryos. So what I'm intending is to get a child. Do you see what I'm saying? So that
the question there is, you go back to that first point I made about the three parts of the act: the object, the intention, and the circumstances. And the object is defined as the rational choice made by the agent. So in that place, your choice is to make an embryo that you are going to then freeze. That is a rational choice. We already said we're not tracking the creation of the embryo, but even then, you're choosing, I am going to suspend this embryo, or I am going to dispose of this embryo, and that's basically killing it because you're and things. So that is the object of the act, and not just something that's a circumstance of that act.
Right.
You know,
right.
Because that's the distinction. The object isn't just like a physical act, like pulling a trigger, but it's what the rational kind of choice that is being made with that. If I'm pulling the trigger, I could be, you know, out with my dad hunting for a deer to eat for dinner in a few, in a week or two, or I could be, you know, a police officer trying to save somebody's life, or you could be a murderer trying to kill somebody.
Right.
And those have very different moral judgments based on the same physical act of firing a gun.
That sounded like you have actual plans to go hunting with your father in a couple of weeks.
My dad definitely loves hunting. My dad loves hunting. I never really took it up as much as he did, but yeah, my dad is an avid hunter. So I went a few times with him, but it just didn't seem like the most enjoyable recreation for me.
888-318-7884 is our number. Father Matthew Schneider is our guest, and we're talking about how Catholics make moral decisions, how we make these moral calculations. A great deal goes into it. It is certainly, this conversation is certainly brought upon us by the conversations that the whole world is having about these vaccines. Certainly the whole Catholic world having these conversations about the vaccines. But any moral issue that you have, if you want to ask Father about how the calculation is made on that, perhaps you say, well, I don't understand why the church would teach against the use of contraceptives, for example. We can get into the specifics of those moral decisions as well. 888-318-7884, our number. Right back with Father Matthew Schneider.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Want the latest pro-life news? Want it delivered? Sign up. It's free. EWTN Pro-Life Weekly, your source for everything happening now in the fight to protect the sanctity of human life. New episodes delivered every week to your inbox. So if you really want to know,
sign up today.
Go to EWTN.com/pro-life today.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. We're talking about remote and formal. We're talking about proximate and no, we're talking about material and formal. I got that all messed up. Sorry about that. Material and formal cooperation with evil, remote and proximate cooperation with evil. We're talking about the object, the intent, and a whole bunch of other stuff. All these words you got to know or you could listen to people like Father Matthew Schneider, our guest, who are already prepared to make these calculations. It doesn't mean that we're all always going to get our moral calculations correct, but it does mean that we have a very well-developed system for doing that within the Catholic Church, very well-developed, whether it has to do with war and peace, whether it has to do with money and investing and all of that, whether it has to do with medical ethics, biomedical ethics, the ethics of government. The Catholic Church has a well-developed system for investigating moral choices and testing them. And that's what Father Matthew Schneider is here to talk about. I'm going to go to the phones, but before I do, I'm supposed to tell you about the 20 Answers Challenge. Hundreds of Catholics, just like yourself, are going to take the 20 Answers Lenten Challenge, read 20 books in 40 days. Some of these books are small. Do not worry. Some of these books are small. 20 books in 40 days. Challenge yourself. Build up your faith and the faith of friends and family. Just go to shop.catholic.com and order the 20 Answers Lenten Challenge Pack. It's a pack, and you get a deal on it at shop.catholic.com. Now, is there anything that you wanted to straighten out about that, what I just did, Father, the mess I just made of Catholic moral theology before we go to the phone?
Well, I think if people were listening before the break, they probably got it. I think you did mention a few things that were valuable there, as well as other examples, you know, like investing, you know, yeah. If you buy a mutual fund, that mutual fund might buy a company that is somehow involved in some kind of evil, you know, like they might buy, like the company, your mutual fund might buy Energizer, and Energizer gives money to Planned Parenthood, and like, that's, you know, multiple steps remote, because you're not like going out there to give money to Planned Parenthood, but you're giving it to a mutual fund who's then buying stocks in a company that does donate some money to Planned Parenthood.
Right.
Or even, for example, you know, what you buy, you know, just before, like earlier this afternoon, I was out getting some exercise and listening to Jimmy Akin's Mysterious World on my cell phone. You know, free plug for you, because I was really listening to his latest episode on the Synoptics that came out yesterday, on the Gospels, the dating of the Gospels. But as I was doing that, I was like, well, these headphones were probably made in China. Almost definitely, they're like the cheap off-brand ones you buy on Amazon for $15-$20. They're not like a fancy one that's made in the U.S. or Germany or anything. And you know, China's persecuting the Uyghurs. They're forcing women to have abortions, and probably some fraction of a cent of that, you know, a cent or two of that went to the Chinese government. Some fraction of that goes to some of their evil programs like that. So
you have to be able to do, especially the more interconnected we are, the more these things might press upon us if we're very scrupulous about it. That there's virtually nothing you can do that doesn't involve you in at least the economics of someone else's evil act.
Well, yeah, especially when you get to super, like these like multiple steps removed like that. Like it wasn't that I went out and I'm oppressing the Uyghurs. No, I went out and I was looking for a cheap pair of Bluetooth headphones for when I exercise, And pretty much all the ones that are, you know, cheap on Amazon are made in countries with issues like China. Like they're either China or other countries that have similar issues as far as human rights abuses and things like that. So, you know, unless I'm going to spend a lot of money on my Bluetooth headphones, I don't, there isn't really much of another option in that regard.
888-3187-884. Up first, Paul in Sacramento, California. Go ahead with your question for Father Matthew Schneider.
Oh, hey, Father Matt. Well, my question is, you know, I had heard that from Cardinal Zen on EWTN News, he was talking about how Pope Francis had allowed the Chinese government to pick their own bishops. And I just said to myself, if that is true, if that is an accurate reflection of reality, then he is in cooperation with evil. I mean, that is demonic. That is not. And in my opinion, if it's true, he needs to be removed from office and another man, let another man his office take, because that is unacceptable. No pope before him has ever done that.
I would disagree on that point, because if you go back 100, 200 years, most bishops, like in the First Vatican Council, a huge percentage of the bishops, the state had some say in the naming of the bishops. In modern times, the state has generally had no say, but even into the 1700s, 1800s, many European governments had a say. And we don't know exactly how much of a say China has, because it's not really clear. You know, these different ways of having a say are manifest in different ways, where, you know, one government, like it might be that, you know, the church appoints it and the government can veto, or the church suggests and the government can veto, or different ways like that that are arranged by the church, which the church has done historically for other governments. I don't know the details about China. I haven't gone into the details of that specific agreement. And so I do think that when there's a government that is more anti-Catholic like that, it is more of an issue than when you had, you know, at least officially Catholic monarchs in Europe for most of that time when they did have some say in the name of bishops. But I don't have all the details of that. And so I think it's hard to say, but I think it's also an exaggeration to call it demonic when it does, you know, it does reflect a way that had been done before. And I don't think it's really related to the question here, where we're talking about like us making our moral choices and how that remotely is connected to some other evil that's out there, whether it's, you know, whether it's the Chinese government and their human rights abuses, or whether it's Planned Parenthood, or whether it's anything else like that, which there's a whole bunch of things that can go in there. But yeah, I think there's a different question. And I think it's hard for us, because the details are not public. So I don't want to be like, I know exactly what this says when the details are not public.
Paul, just so you know, next week we have a focus episode where we spend, I think, 25 minutes talking about disagreeing with the Pope. It's with our good friend Joe Heschmeyer, and it's about what to do when you disagree with the Pope. So there's certainly no moral problem with disagreeing with the Pope, but there is a right way and a wrong way. So you might be interested in that, CatholicAnswersFocus.com. You know, when you're mentioning cooperating with these things, Father, last week, a Catholic magazine, Catholic World Report, a Catholic news outfit, Catholic World Report, referred to a person as a biological man who presented as a transgender woman. And that was the way they were describing, so that people would understand that this was not just a woman. And Twitter banned them for saying that. And here's my problem. I thought, well, we use Twitter all the time to reach people here at Catholic Answers. But if they're going to do things which are clearly evil, like banning people for saying biological facts, Should I be or should I not? How do I make that moral calculation?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with things like that, where you say like, okay, I'm not like we, I think all of us here, we're definitely not formally cooperating. That I think that's pretty clear. We're not, okay. But then I think both you and I and your social media manager, whoever that is at Catholic Answers, who I've been in contact with a few times via Twitter and things, we obviously aren't formally cooperating that. And now we're materially cooperating. We're right there because we aren't like the one making that decision. Are we going to break now?
Yeah, we got to take a break. Let me just finish up on the other side, okay?
Okay, sorry.
All right. Paul, thank you for the call. We'll come back and find out if it's okay to use Twitter or not right after this. If you have a question about the Catholic way of making moral choices, 888-318-7884.
We're waiting for your call. Grab that line and get on board.
To many people, even many Christians, purgatory is a fantasy, or worse, a wicked lie invented by the church to make salvation complicated and keep people in fear. But I'm here to tell you that purgatory is fact, not fiction. The Bible supports it, Christians have historically believed in it, and it makes theological sense. In my new book, Purgatory is for Real, I provide the evidence and reasoning to help you understand this controversial doctrine and demonstrate how it's actually a joyful, hopeful reality, not something shadowy and mysterious, but a sign of God's love and mercy. To get your copy of Purgatory is for Real, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Bishop Joseph Strickland of Tyler, Texas, is one of the most courageous leaders in the church, known for his outspoken support of unborn life, Orthodox faith and morals, and reforming Catholic institutions. In his groundbreaking new book, Light and Leaven, he offers a forthright perspective on the state of the church today and calls on the lay faithful to meet its challenges boldly. Touching on topics including parish renewal, the centrality of the Eucharist, the need for prayer and silence in a noisy and distracted age, and the battle between good and evil in the church and world, Bishop Strickland's wise insights and evident love for souls will inspire and edify you. To order your copy of Light and Leaven, visit shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you. Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Our guest, Father Matthew Schneider, is a Legionaries of Christ priest, and he recently wrote a piece on Patheos called 12 Things Less Remote Cooperation and Evil Than COVID Vaccines. It got a lot of attention, that piece. It certainly got our attention here because it was very, very well done, and Father is a moral theologian, and so we're posing him some questions about how it is, because it is important for us Catholics to have a sense that we just don't go on the gut on these things. Sometimes the gut is right, but the mind needs to be engaged in these things. So here's what I did. I get this fine moral theologian on here, and I gave him 20 seconds to answer a question about whether or not I can use Twitter. Father, let me set it up for you again. Father Matthew Schneider, again, our guest, 888-318-7884. Here's the setup. I'm on Twitter trying to share the love of Jesus on Twitter. And also sometimes making snarky comments. I do both of those things. But here's Twitter banning Catholic media sites because those sites don't agree with Twitter about transgenderism. As a matter of fact, even calling them hate and all that. So then I'm faced with this dilemma. Should I just get off Twitter and just quit on this thing? What's the moral calculus, Father?
So I think the first thing is that obviously this is not an act that we're directly involved in. So it is a question of cooperation. And then second of all, none of us are formally cooperating in that kind of restriction of speech, where you can't say that, you know, that this person is a biological male who's presenting as a transgender female or something along those lines. I don't remember the exact wording of Catholic World Report.
That's a good paraphrase of it, though. Yeah.
And then we had to look at like the and it's remote material cooperation. So you have to say, okay, well, what in remote material cooperation, you have to look at like how far away the evil is, what the evil is, and is there a, you know, easy way to avoid that evil? Because obviously that evil is, you know, relatively remote. Even though it's Twitter, it's like we're not there in the offices assigning the people to figure out who bans and which accounts for what reasons and writing the rules and things. That would be a very different situation if you and I were, you know, had some power inside the corporation to try and affect it. That would be much less remote. It is still, it's relatively remote. And then it is a, you know, it's obviously an evil there. It's not, you know, restricting free speech is less of an evil than, you know, killing someone or something like that. And then the other factor is what other options you have to avoid it, because it's and how easy those are to use, how easy those are to access, because it's very different, you know, if I go into Walmart and there's two chairs and, you know, one's made in China, one's made in a factory 2 miles away, where I know the boss treats his workers well and things, and they cost the same amount. There's no reason to pick the one from China, because there's no real difficulty in choosing the other option. There's no real other evil that's possibly involved or things. Whereas, you know, if you say, okay, I'm not going to be on Twitter, well, that means like, well, what other option do I have to communicate on that kind to that kind of audience? Is there a way to speak to that audience that isn't Twitter? And there doesn't seem to be a super obvious answer. I mean, maybe somebody could argue, well, there's Facebook, but then Facebook has similar issues to Twitter in that regard.
Right.
So they're not really, you know, it's kind of like I don't see a clear, like, one is worse than the other about that issue.
Yeah.
Both seem to be equally problematic about. I'm not getting into like precise details, because some people would argue one or the other is a little more evil. That's kind of beyond this and more of an analysis thing of very precise things. But I think in that regard, it's not like there's not really much of an option that doesn't have it, or there might be, you know, or there might be some other option, but it involves some other, you know, evil that's involved, you know, like you go to this other platform and they have no restrictions. And so people are saying things that are, you know, problematic and problematic and aren't being restricted. So it's like, you know, what kind of options do you have to make a moral choice there?
Fair enough. Okay. All right. I'm going to stay on Twitter for a little while then. And I'm going to try to be less snarky and more love of Jesus. That'll be my plan. 888-318-7884. We're talking about making moral decisions as a Catholic with Father Matthew Schneider. Up next, Lewis in St. Paul, Minnesota. Watching on YouTube. Go ahead, Lewis, with your question.
Hello. Kind of amazing to be online, to be on a radio show. So my question is... Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead, Lewis. Go ahead.
I was going to say it is kind of amazing in that sense, because I was... I didn't realize that YouTube was going to be like audio. I thought YouTube was just going to be like, when they said YouTube, I thought you were just going to read a question. Sorry, actually.
But then we were going to be broadcasting video of you all over the world? You didn't know that?
I knew you could broadcast that, but I thought it was just like the comments, not the actual like audio.
Oh,
but anyway,
I see. Yeah. No, we're very advanced.
Lewis. Continue, Lewis. Sorry.
It's like a newspaper. My question is in regards to, this is probably a question for Trent Horn. He talks about this a lot. But in regards to socialism, Catholics and socialism, and just moral evil and stuff like that, I'm probably going to upset a few people in the comments because there's a few Catholic socialists on your live stream there. But for example, Pope Pius the 11th was asked if it was okay to vote for the Labour Party in Britain, and he said that it was. And I just wonder, I'm not a socialist, but voting for a socialist party and just any party that goes contrary to Catholic doctrine in general, what's the nuance of that.
And okay, Father.
Well, I think the first thing is that the word socialist can mean very different things here, because and the church, as far as economics, does not set like this is the exact economic policy of the church. She sets a very wide, you know, perspective with some fences on the outside, and you can't go outside of that. Some forms of socialism in themselves definitely go outside of that, you know, like Marxism specifically, or, you know, Leninism, Stalinism, most, you know, those type of ones definitely go outside of it as far as Catholic teaching, as far as, you know, the limits of economics. But a lot of things that are called socialism are within Catholic teaching in that regard. You know, like some people will say that like Canada's economy, because I'm Canadian originally, is socialist. And well, maybe compared to the U.S., but as far as the economic policy, neither the U.S. nor Canada is outside of Catholic teaching of what's, you know, acceptable in a general outline. Obviously, in certain specific areas, there are issues in almost every country in that regard. So then, but then you have to ask. But when you vote, you have to ask first of all, you know, what are you voting for? Because, you know, a lot of times there's issues where there's some issues that are very big and there's some issues that are not as important. You know, like the bishops, they say abortion is a preeminent issue. It isn't the only issue, but it has a certain preeminence because of the number of people who die from abortion in the U.S., from legal abortion, things like that. So the remote cooperation is, you know, with almost any party, you have to say, okay, like this party has these good things, I'm voting for them. And it has these things either I disagree with and or that are contrary to Catholic teaching. I don't know. Very few people I know agree 100%, like every single item on any particular party platform. And so when it's something that's contrary to Catholic faith, you have to ask, well, is there something more important that I'm looking at, that I'm going for? And if you are, there's not necessarily an issue. Obviously, you're cooperating in that evil because you're allowing it. But if there's something greater you're going for, you're not causing an issue. Like, for instance, in some districts, both the Republican and the Democrat candidate are pro-abortion in some districts. And so you as an individual, you say, well, I want to vote for a pro-life candidate. But the only candidates who have any chance of winning are both pro-abortion. So I could either be kind of a Puritan and vote for a third party that might get, you know, 0.5% of the vote, which is a perfectly acceptable moral option. Or I could say, okay, based on the other things, which one of these pro-abortion candidates am I going to vote for? Even though both are pro-abortion, there's no candidate who has a realistic chance of winning who isn't pro-abortion in that sense. It gets more complicated in some situations, but I do think that kind of gives you a bit of an outline.
Lewis, I hope that was helpful for you. That is actually, Father, in California, that's often the case, that whatever office you're voting for, because we have nonpartisan primary, so whoever the top two candidates are, those are who get in. So in many cases, that's exactly what will happen. You'll have two candidates of the same party that are basically of the same view on abortion or some other major issue. Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely. I know you know, also sometimes in areas of the country that are more kind of pro-abortion overall, a lot of times the local Republicans will try and put a pro-abortion Republican in, trying to get people who might be supporting the Republicans and other things, but try and get those people who are pro-abortion. Right. You know, and I think that there's a whole lot of there's a whole lot of issues. You know, there is issues with remote cooperation, but sometimes it's almost impossible to avoid. I mean, then you have Louisiana where it's the opposite, where, you know, most offices, both candidates are pro-life. So you're like,
yeah.
Then you have to look at the other. Then you have to focus
you go down
on
the list.
The other issues.
Yeah, that's okay. Father Matthew Schneider, our guest, Lewis in St. Paul, thanks very much. We're talking with Father about the various ways we calculate moral decision-making in the Catholic Church. If you have specific questions, for example, about the use of the words formal and material cooperation with evil, if you have questions about proximate or remote cooperation with evil, or you're not sure, sometimes perhaps you would like to ask a very basic question, like Is there ever a case where the ends justify the means? We can talk about any of it with Father Matthew Snyder. More calls, perhaps with yours, at 888-318-7884 right after this.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Celebrate the beauty and sanctity of humanity with the Gift of Life Novena Bracelet. Designed exclusively for EWTN, it features 9 prayer beads, a St. Benedict crucifix, a miraculous medal, and medal of St. Anne with her daughter, the Blessed Virgin Mary. Ask for the prayers of these holy saints with the Gift of Life Novena Bracelet, now available for just $39.95. To order, go to EWTNRC.com and search for item number 739.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Just a couple weeks away from the beginning of Lent, and we all, in addition to all the other things we're doing for Lent, we've got a free book about Lent for you, an ebook. Each month, we try to have a free ebook available to you. This month, it's 20 Answers Lent. 20 Answers About Lent. It's free at shop.catholic.com. Get it before Lent. Read, and you'll be all prepared. Well, I don't know. I suppose Lent is the thing that prepares us for a lot, but you'll be prepared to go through the preparation that is Lent. 888-318-7884 is our number. Our guest is Father Matthew Snyder. We're talking about cooperation with evil this hour. The topic presented it to us because Father wrote a really impressive piece that you can get over at the Petheos website. It's called 12 Things Less Remote Cooperation in Evil Than COVID Vaccines. And one of the things we have to figure out if we're going to take a vaccine, Father, is what degree of cooperation with evil. It's too bad, too, because I suppose you could probably make a non-evil vaccine. Like, it is technically possible, right?
Oh, it's definitely technically possible. I mean, most of the vaccines we have right now don't have those issues. I mean, a few of the vaccines that are currently generally used, you know, pre-COVID, that were generally used 6 months ago, not counting the ones that were just approved for COVID, there were two that had issues, which were the chickenpox and rubella vaccines, where they were grown on fetal cell lines, but the National Catholic Bioethics Center and a number of others like Father Nicanor Astriaco, who is a doctoral degree both in moral theology and in microbiology, Father Archbishop Fisher from Australia, and a number of others had all come out basically saying, look, that these are ethical, if there's no other option reasonably available to the person. Let's say, for example, for some reason, Canada approved a vaccine that was ethical, but the U.S. didn't approve that one. It only approved one that was grown on fetal cell lines. I mean, it would be quite a bit to ask a person to travel to Canada to get a vaccine, versus just having it in the U.S. Although, in all likelihood, if that happened, it would probably be the other way around for the Canadians being stuck with it rather than the Americans. But
I didn't actually know that you were Canadian when we invited you on, but you're still welcome. Don't worry about that.
I've lived most of my adult life in the U.S. So, yeah. I entered the Legion in 2001, and I think, I've been in the U.S. now. So that's 20 years ago. I've been in the U.S. now 16 years. I think I was 3 years in Rome and 1 year in Canada since I entered the Legion. So,
well, let me ask you to make a distinction then for me, if you would, about the vaccine then, because there are quite a few people, and here at Catholic Answers, we hear from a lot of different people on a lot of different questions. There are quite a few people who are in the position where they're either A, I get it that the moral theologians in the church and the Pope himself, the people who have the authority to say these things, have said it's morally acceptable to take this vaccine. I just can't do it because I don't want to be have anything to do with this abortion. And then there are others who are saying, I hear what the Pope and the moral theologians are saying, but they're wrong and people should stop listening to them. And I think some of this has to do with people having lost trust in the you know, there's a good Pope Francis is a controversial Pope, and there's a good number of people who have lost trust in Pope Francis. And so they're like, no, I'm not going down that road on his word. What can you say about those various ways people are approaching this?
Well, I think that, first of all, when we talk about the COVID vaccine, I think it's very important to look at like the two different ways that that different vaccines cooperate in evil or appropriate evil. Because you take a vaccine like the Moderna or the Pfizer one, and all that you're dealing with is one of the tests or two of the tests that were done with the vaccine were done on a fetal cell line. The vaccine itself is manufactured basically artificially by a machine. Whereas, you know, the Oxford AstraZeneca one and the one coming out from Johnson & Johnson, they grow part of it on a fetal cell line, and then they kind of, you know, basically scrape off the vaccine part and from the cells, and then destroy those cells usually. But that's a noticeably less remote cooperation than the one who's remote cooperating just in that they did a test on it. Because if you're going to say like any medicine that has ever had a test done on it a test on fetal cell lines is immoral, then, you know, almost every medicine is immoral. All the top 10 prescribed medicines in the U.S. have been tested on HEK293 cells, some of them after they were created, but they were still, you know, all they've been tested on the exact same cell line that Moderna and Pfizer were. So I think that's a distinction that's important to make, because, you know, if you're granted the option at all, I think it's incumbent on us to ask for the Moderna or Pfizer one if it's available, you know. Okay. Or Father Nicanor Ostriaco, who I mentioned before, he's actually developing one on yeast that's probably still a few months out, that doesn't really involve, that's grown, instead of being grown on a fetal cell line, it's grown on yeast. Part of his was that he wanted to create one that was, that didn't need as much refrigeration, so that you could deliver it to all the outskirting islands of the Philippines or places like that in the third world that don't really have a lot of refrigeration, because a lot of these vaccines require refrigeration, which in the U.S. is not a big deal because everybody has a fridge and a freezer in their house. But if you go to somewhere like, you know, the rural parts of a third world country, refrigeration becomes a huge obstacle to getting the vaccine to people.
Yeah. Go ahead, Father.
Yeah, but that's the first thing. And then the other thing is just also to look at the principles. And one of the pieces I wrote, a different one, not the one you mentioned, I brought it back to St. Alphonse Liguori and how he talks about this kind of remote cooperation evil and how it is allowed for the greater good. It's kind of an application of the principle of double effect, where, you know, the action itself is evil. Getting immunized is not evil. And, you know, the good that just happens is less than the evil, the good that happens is much greater than the evil that you contribute to, that is very remote. So you contribute just a little tiny, like the tiniest slice to that evil.
Yeah. Well, I worry, Father, that we have become somewhat illiterate as Catholics about our own tradition. Like you mentioned St. Alphonsus, the great teacher of moral theology. You can trust St. Alphonsus, but I don't think most people know him. You know, I think we're just like, we go on a more gut level and forget that the greatest intellectual tradition for moral reasoning in the history of the world is right here in the Catholic Church.
Oh, yeah. I mean, everything. I mean, right now I'm writing a doctoral thesis on privacy, and today, for this morning and this afternoon before I came on the program, I was going through a whole bunch on St. Augustine and his ideas of privacy, which really revolutionized compared to what all the Greeks and Latin philosophers before him thought about privacy, which is just, you know, showing that kind of from Augustine, you know, you go to Augustine, Aquinas, Liguori, you have such a strong tradition of the church that kind of brings out a lot of these truths that are implicit in the Bible, but not always like explicitly explained. Like Jesus said, render unto Caesar, but he didn't say, you know, therefore you can remotely
do this or that,
cooperate in evil by giving tax money to a government that does evil.
Yeah. But I do.
Along with doing good, you know?
You know, there's a lot of things I wouldn't trust in the Catholic Church. You know, the Vatican Bank, I might not trust. But the moral teaching of the Church, I feel very, very confident you can trust what the Church teaches. I think it's a great loss that we've lost that trust in this great tradition. I want to get more callers. I've monopolized your time. 888-318-7884 is the number. Tom in Portland, Oregon, listening on Mater Dei Radio. You are next, Tom. Go ahead with your question for Father Matthew Schneider.
Thanks a lot. I would like to know if it is okay for someone who says that they love God, but they collect these rosaries. Now, I'm from the older school where rosaries are meant to be distributed. They're like a mini scripture to other people, and you shouldn't save rosaries. Now, I don't know if there's a way you can do it legally or morally, but as far as I know, there's one relative just decides to save rosaries and because she thinks she loves God. Well, to me, that's not loving God.
Okay, so, hang on. I just want to let Father answer that because I don't want to run out of time.
Okay, yeah. Like I think that's we got to go quick because I just looked at the watch on my computer screen here, the clock, whatever. I think there the question is what was the intention of collecting them? If you're, you know, because some people are very moved to their own love of God by being surrounded by, you know, tons of holy pictures. I know one guy I went to and it was like every square inch of his wall was just like a different, you know, picture of a saint or, you know, little holy card or things like that. And he found that was huge in helping him love God. And if somebody collects a whole bunch of rosaries to help them love God, that's their way of loving God. And I don't think we should say like, okay, you know, this way is wrong, that way is the other. If they have the opportunity to give somebody a rosary and they say, oh no, I'm just going to keep this for myself rather than give this person who asked me if they can have a rosary, then you might be looking at, you know, okay, are they really being charitable in sharing what they have? But the act of collecting it itself doesn't seem like much of a moral issue.
Thanks. I appreciate that call. I hope that was helpful to you, Tom. Father Matthew Schneider has been our guest. You can find his. I'm sure you've written other things, Father, but you can find his piece on 12 things less remote cooperating in evil than COVID vaccines at the Patheos website. Father, going forward, I suppose now we are going to need greater and greater precision in moral things, because lots of stuff is being, there's like a revolution in morals going on right underneath us. And so it seems to me, I just want to ask you about that, about educating us so that we can be precise in our moral choices, not just wanting to be, I don't know, to kind of use morals as a blunt instrument, but to be precise about the choices that we make.
Well, I think that there is a lot in the sense of like, I think we start with the basics in that sense, like, you know, like we remember to pray every day to you know, to be charitable to our neighbors when we can, you know, to love our families. And I think there are a lot of issues that are going on that do get a little more complicated, like how do you refer to a person who, you know, was born one gender and now presents as the opposite gender? Do you say him, her? And things like that. Those kind of questions get a little complicated. But I think the best way we can do is to start in our family, start in our friend group. You know, back in the early church, they said, look at the Christians, look how they love one another. And that was a great tool of evangelization. And I think that if we do practice the moral principles today, we can have a similar impact on our society where they say, look, I want to be just like that guy because he has such a loving family. He has such love for his wife and his kids. And I just want to be like that guy because, like, my life, you know, and that really attracts people to faith. And ultimately, I think we'll win the cultural battle, you know, be a big part of winning the cultural battle. So let's focus on that and not get overly committed just to a cultural battle and forget about what's our own lives.
Father Matthew Schneider, thanks.